Well, this morning we're starting our new series, which is called Hot Topics. It's only a mini-series, which means we're only doing it this week and the next 2 weeks. And this morning is actually a bit of an introduction to it. The reason for the introduction is that we will be coming back to Hot Topics next year at different times when we're doing mini-series. Sometimes we'll return to Hot Topics and return to some of the questions that people have had. Today we are looking at 1 John 2, 20-27, as we've had read this morning by Robin, and that is sort of a little bit of a basis for some of our thinking. But as I said, it's an introduction. I wanted to let you know that next week we're going to be looking at the question of racism and the idea or the movement called Black Lives Matter, and I guess the idea of what is it that Jesus might do in this time, in our culture, in a response to racism and the movement that is going globally around the world at the moment. So that's next week. On the 4th of October, we're going to be coming back to a very different hot topic, which was simply, why do I still feel guilty when I know I have been forgiven? Why do I still feel guilty when I know I've been forgiven? So they're two very different topics. That's the nature of Hot Topics. We're actually doing them from questions that people have had or sent through. And so that's what we'll be doing over the next 2 weeks. To give you an idea of some of the other questions that we received or other topics we received, there were things such as love your neighbours, trust, marriage, mental illness, what is biblical justice, becoming pure, digital discipleship or being a Christian on social media, things like bushfires and climate change, predestination, same-sex attraction, wear it purple days, all those sorts of things. Some of those we're going to deal with at other times. Some of them we will reserve until we're back face-to-face, because I think some hot topics are better done face-to-face. As a part of the introduction today, one of the things that struck me when I received some of the hot topics is that I think sometimes there's a question behind the question, isn't there? When you ask people for different topics, things that they would like to hear a talk on in church, sometimes you get things suggested for all sorts of reasons. And I just wanted to touch base on those. And so it gives us the opportunity to realize that a question or a topic comes sometimes with a bit of a backstory or a bit of history. If we could look at it this way, I guess as a series of questions to ask ourselves about a hot topic or a question we might suggest. A question might be, is there a backstory or a history to the question in the life of the person asking it or in the life of the church? Some of these hot topics that we've had come up have obviously been things that have been going around the community to some degree or our society in general. Some of them are things that have quite possibly also been an issue for our church or even for individuals in our church. And so there is a history there. Sometimes it's worth asking what that history is. Another thing is it might be helpful to ask whether the question being asked is being asked from curiosity or from something deeper. Now, sometimes we want a hot topic discussed or a question answered because we actually have a whole lot of emotion about it, maybe a lot of unprocessed emotions, things we haven't really thought through ourselves. Maybe we've seen an injustice and we want somebody to talk about it and tell us that we have a reason for feeling the way that we feel. That's important to identify with regards to hot topics because maybe or maybe not you're going to hear what it is that you want to hear. Another thing to think about is whether or not the question or the topic is actually about stroking our ego intellectually or otherwise. Sometimes people like talking about theological things because it gives them a sense of intelligence as they do that. They like to hear other people talk about them so they can compare their intelligence. Now, I'm not saying anybody did this with any of the hot topics that were suggested, but it's worth asking the question, isn't it? Is my interest in this purely intellectual? And if it is, how does that actually help myself or anybody else? Indeed, am I using intellectual stimulation as a means for avoiding things that I really should be asking questions about because I need to know the answer. Another thing to ask is whether or not legalism is at the heart of the issue. Sometimes we want to talk about hot topics and we want to ask questions because we want to know what it is that we can or can't do, or we're actually pretty proud of how we're going with not doing something, and so therefore we want to be reminded of how we're achieving things from a legalistic perspective. It may be that we want to talk about a topic or ask a question because we actually want to avoid hard work. And so the question behind the question, or the reason behind the topic suggestion, is important. And as we start hot topics, I just want to get us to think about those things. It's helpful for you to think about them before I present, I guess, a perspective. One of the interesting things is that the question or the topic could actually be a trap for me. I'm sure none of you have done that, but I've seen it happen, where somebody asks for hot topics and they're given a topic which is designed to trap them. That's not very nice, is it? But I'm sure, as I said, none of you are doing that. It can work a little bit like this. I'll ask a question, and it could be on something to do with sexuality or racism or Black Lives Matter or whatever it might be. And we might do it, or climate change, we might ask the question or raise the topic from the perspective of, if Dave agrees with me, well, that's great, I'm right. Isn't it great to have Dave agree with me? I feel good about that. But if Dave disagrees with my perspective, well, then Dave's obviously wrong, and I don't need to take Dave seriously anymore. That's not a helpful perspective, to set up a question or a topic where we come to it believing there's just a right and a wrong answer. That doesn't give me much of a chance, does it? If I'm right, it simply scratches your ego and mine. If I'm wrong, then it has the possibility of instead causing a disunity or a disharmony between us. And so that's why I want us to come to 1 John 2, 20 to 27 this morning. In 1 John 2, 20 to 27, John reminds us of some very important things with regards to Jesus. In verses 20 to 23, he reminds us that ultimate truth is found in Jesus. And so as we look at hot topics, one of the things that I want to underline really clearly is that for me, the most important thing for us as a church is that you and I love Jesus. That's the thing that is the unifying thing between you and I. You might remember, I haven't mentioned it for a little while, that for 2020 our theme was unity in Christ. Well, it's in Christ that we find ultimate truth. We understand what ultimately is correct. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so in verse 24 of that passage, John says, make sure that you remain in Jesus and in the Father. It's in Jesus that you have ultimate truth. And so make sure that you remain in him and remain in the Father. Our connection to God is primary. It's important. We were designed and created for that connection. But then in verses 26 to 27, John actually says something that's very, very radical. I don't know if you've ever picked up on it before, but essentially that we are taught by the Spirit and do not need another teacher. Let me say that again, that we are taught by the Holy Spirit and we do not need another teacher. Verse 27, to actually read the words that are in the NIV, says, "You do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, it's not counterfeit." John's saying something quite dramatic. He's actually saying you don't need me to give you the answers to the hot topics. He's actually saying how he starts in verse 20 to 23, and that is that ultimate truth is actually found in Jesus. If his Spirit is in you, his Spirit will teach you. You do not need another teacher. That's quite profound, and it's not something that you will hear many people stand up at the front of church and tell you. It's more common for me to stand up in the front of church and tell you, you need me as a teacher. Ultimately, you don't. Ultimately, Christ has all of it worked out. If Christ wants you to know something and understand something, he has ways of making sure you hear it and know it and understand it without me being involved. It's a little similar to the verse at the beginning of Romans 12, Romans 12:2, which says, "Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." There's this idea that as we are in Christ, our minds are changed. They're renewed to the extent that we will know God's will. It's similar to this idea, or it's quite the same actually, this idea of we don't need another teacher, that God teaches us. We see this in John 16:3 as well, where he says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." If you have a search for truth, and I hope as we look at hot topics, that is the thing that is driving you the most, a search for truth. If you have a search for truth, then the Spirit of truth will guide you in what it is that you need to know. Psalm 32:8 is similar. It says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you." God has always been able to do this for his people. God is the one who teaches us. And that's important to remember. I'm going to contradict it in a minute, but God is the one who teaches us. And so that encourages us, I hope, to do some hard work. You might think, well, God's going to teach me. I don't need to do hard work, but that's the thing. God's willing to teach us through his Spirit, but we are not always willing to listen, and listening can take hard work. At some point during this sermon, you might decide that you agree with me, that listening does take hard work. It can take hard work to make time and space for God's input, to actually allow God room to speak into our lives, to give us the truth. We also need to seek to submit our questions that are behind the questions. The reasons, as I mentioned earlier, those reasons why we might suggest a topic or a question, our agenda that we bring to it, we need to submit to God. If we are only content to walk and live in our own agenda, then it's going to be very hard to hear God when he speaks to us. We also need to allow the love of God to work in our heart, to shape us to be like the heart of Christ. One of the ways that we lean into the truth that God has to teach us is by allowing the truth of who God is and what Christ has done to work in us, so that we are able to conform to his truth rather than simply insisting on our own take on the truth. And finally, this idea that we should listen more and talk less, which obviously I'm not doing at the moment, but I want to encourage you to, and I will endeavour to do that other than this 20-minute time on a Sunday morning. Proverbs 4:20, and there's lots of proverbs that sound a lot like this, but Proverbs 4:20 says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words." And so the first point this morning is that God teaches us. The second point is that God teaches us through one another. And so, yes, there is actually room for somebody else to be teaching you, but it's important to realize that if they're going to be teaching you the truth, then that truth is coming from God. It's actually God teaching you through them. And so in Ephesians 4:15 and 16, it says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love." Now, notice it's the truth that we're speaking, and we're doing it in love. So it's very much what it is that God does to us. He speaks the truth in love. "We will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. And from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." This idea, once again, of unity comes about as we teach one another or allow God to teach us through each other. God teaches us through one another. And so it's not so much necessarily relying on the hard work that we've done that I mentioned under God teaches us, but also cashing in on the hard work other people have done. If you want to get answers to hot topics and a perspective that is helpful and truth-based, then it's worth finding somebody who has done the hard work to not simply just present their own agenda, but rather to do the hard work to put their agenda to one side and hear the truth from God. So to find somebody who has made time and space for God's input into their life. To find people who have been willing to submit the question or their agenda that is behind the question to God. It's to find somebody who has had the love of God work in their hearts so that their heart might be shaped to look like the heart of Christ. You're looking for somebody to teach you who has a more objective position than your own. I think that's important. And so the first thing, God teaches us. When it comes to hot topics, it's not just what I say. I could be wrong. It's not also necessarily what you bring. God is the one who teaches us truth. He sometimes uses us, which means as we look at hot topics, I might actually help you understand the hot topic from a greater perspective, or a perspective from of greater truth. But at the same time, you might teach me. But the third point is that God teaches us through life as well. He teaches us himself, he teaches us through each other, and he teaches us through life. Think about it. In life, we get things that teach us lessons. Sometimes it's pain. Sometimes just the passage of time. Sometimes it's loss, or it's love, or it's relationship. It could be failure, or experience, or joy, or disappointment. There is any number of ways that through experiences, God teaches us things. Life teaches us. Deuteronomy 32:7 says, "Remember the days of old. Consider the generations long past. Ask your father and he will tell you, your elders and they will explain to you." One of the things that older people have is a perspective that comes about through what life has taught them, what God has taught them through life. So they're the main three points I just wanted to have, I guess, as an introduction as we come to hot topics over the next couple of weeks and then as we revisit later on. But I haven't quite finished yet. I guess I want to conclude by encouraging us to not mimic the current outrage culture. Some of the hot topics that I have been given are very sensitive issues, and they're issues in which there's a lot of rage in our society and culture about. That's actually why some of them we're not doing while we're doing everything over the internet. It would be unwise. Almost anything that was said from any perspective would generate among some rage. I want to encourage us not to be a part of that culture. If you're not sure what the outrage culture is, the definition in the Urban Dictionary is this. It is when people play the victim card and bend over backwards to be as offended as possible when they really aren't, using hissy fits, political correctness, character assassinations, and a false sense of moral. The outrager hopes to gain power and public recognition for their brave act of justice, as well as a sense of control over their meaningless existence, often accompanied by demands for financial compensation for their pain and suffering. It's actually a fairly extreme definition. I don't think all of the definition is particularly... I think it's... not as pleasant as it could be, not as gracious as it could be, I should say. But there's some things in it that I think are true. This idea that we become outraged about other people's opinions and positions because somehow it makes us feel better about us. It might even help us deal with the guilt that we have for not being the answer or doing everything that we can. And so I want to encourage us as we go through hot topics to not mimic the outrage culture. That's not the culture that Christ sets for us. To think of, and there's Bible verses to back pretty much all of these up, to think of what it might look like for us as a church to do hot topics well, I would suggest we do not judge others. I would suggest that we work on the log in our own eyes rather than worry about the log in the eyes of others. That we seek to live in peace with others wherever possible. That we honour others always. We honour them in the way we speak to them or with also the way we speak about them. That everyone at Macquarie Chapel has to walk their own journey. And I think that's really, really important. When we discuss hot topics, I certainly don't want to tell you the journey that you need to walk. That's between you and God. And I would encourage you to certainly be, I guess, leaning into God's guidance as you do that. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. I want to say also that there is an awful lot of grey. Not everything is black and white. I hope that I honour that reality from the front and don't present things simply as black and white. There is a lot of grey. And then to quote Peter in 1 Peter, he says that above all else we should love each other deeply. In the midst of talking about hot topics and things that we may or may not always agree with each other, it is super important that we love each other deeply in the midst of that. We want to speak the truth in love. That doesn't mean just, oh, the truth, the loving thing to do is speak the truth. No, the way you present the truth, if you are to do it in love, will mean that we stop, we pause, and we present it in as loving way as possible. The reason for that is it is more likely to be heard. And if it is the loving thing to give the truth, then it's also the loving thing to present it in a way that is the most helpful. So finally, I want to leave our time this morning by encouraging you to do something if you'd like. It's called spiritual discernment. It's a way where we set aside time and space to allow God to guide us in what it is that we should do. And so it seems helpful at the beginning of a series on hot topics to consider this for a second. Spiritual discernment begins with what is called indifference, and I've already spoken about that. This idea of being willing to set aside our agenda instead to be open to whatever the truth is as God brings it to us. This idea of indifference is not wanting our will to be done or our thoughts to be right, but rather giving our will over to what it is that God wants. And so indifference sounds fairly negative, sounds like you don't care. It's not that you don't care, it's rather that you are willing to become objective. The next thing with spiritual discernment is finding time and space to allow it to occur. Often with big questions in life, dealing with them quickly and in a hurried fashion does not always help us step into the truth. God often speaks to us over a period of time, and although purposeful, he is not always as quick as we would like. Setting aside time and space, if there's something that we really want an answer to allow God to speak to us, is helpful. So there's indifference, there's making time and space. The other thing is, and this relates to the second point of God speaking to us through other people, is to talk to key stakeholders. Find wise people who are able to help you. Key stakeholders are important because, think of racism matters, for example. Think about issues of sexuality. It's great to be able to talk to people who have a perspective different from us. To be able to talk to stakeholders in that situation from all sides. I think one of the mistakes that we fall into is finding like-minded people who think the same as us, and therefore we never understand where the other party is coming from because we only ever hear the people we agree with. So the key stakeholders and then wise people. Find people who have done that work themselves, who have endeavoured to, allow themselves to be shaped by God and his truth. I guess I wanted to finish our time together this morning, or our time here as we think about hot topics and what's coming up over the next few weeks, by reading for you Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And it's really, really helpful, I think. Two verses that say, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight." We need to trust in God with these hot topics. We need to trust in him with all our hearts and not on our own understanding. Our own understanding is usually from a very narrow perspective because it's just your perspective, it's just my perspective, it's not all-encompassing. Instead, we need to trust in God. If we do that, if we acknowledge him, we're told he'll make our paths straight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the opportunity to think about some hot topics over the next couple of weeks. I pray, Lord, that this introduction may have been helpful. Pray, Lord, that you would help each of us to be taught the truth by you. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to be humble and to hear your truth taught by others. And we also pray, Lord, that you would help us to learn the lessons that life teaches us or that you teach us through life. We pray, Lord, that through this series you would help us to grow in our unity. Lord, help us to wrestle with deep questions together. Lord, help us not to avoid hot topics, but rather to be able to wrestle with these things together and in the midst of all of it, to still love each other deeply, recognizing that you love every single one of us, no matter what we believe. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.